Hey everyone, welcome back to the 443 Security Simplified. I'm your host, Mark LaLiberty, and joining me today is...
Corey Conference Pat Pirate Knockgriner. Boy, did I screw that one up. I don't even know what a conference pirate is, even if I could enunciate it.
Hopefully you're not advocating piracy when it comes to downloading conference videos for free.
But wait, if one of those conferences is now totally free, I wouldn't even need to be a pirate.
There you go. Yarr. As you might have guessed on today's episode, we will be discussing both the Black Hat and DEF CON conferences that are going to be starting this week in online-only modes. We'll chat about a few of the topics and trends we see, some speaking sessions that we're looking forward to attending, and then maybe some takeaways from what you might get out of attending both of these conferences digitally. With that, let's go ahead and jump on it. So by the time you're listening to this, it will be, Monday? Maybe a little later if you're late on the ball. But regardless, this week is officially the start of Hacker Summer Camp, or at least the Summer Camp at Home edition this year, since both Black Hat and DEF CON have gone into online-only safe modes. But even though there isn't a in-person conference this year, both are still doing presentations and speaker sessions. And we figured, as we do every year, we would take this time to go through a few of the sessions that we're looking forward to seeing, especially ones that highlight trends that we've seen before, and especially with DEF CON, considering it's free, some ones that we think might be useful for you guys too.
Before we dive in, Mark, I would guess probably every single one of our listeners who's kind of a security nerd like us already know what Black Hat and DEF CON is, but I think it's probably good to introduce it just in case you're new to the InfoSec industry or you just haven't heard of those conferences. You know, basically, lots of security conferences around the world all the time. You know, it used to be things like Black Hat and DEF CON were the few hacker or security conferences you can go to. Now there's so many choices, but these tend to be conferences where you get security researchers from vendors, you know, self-employed vulnerability hunters, and folks come and give you the latest kind of threat vectors, attack possibilities, InfoSec trends that, you know, one, you can learn about what threat actors could do, what governments can do, you kind of learn defensive tips for it. And if I were to quickly characterize Black Hat, I won't put words into Mark's mouth, but I would say Black Hat Las Vegas, because there are numbers of Black Hats around the world throughout the year. But Black Hat Las Vegas and DEF CON are probably the largest security conferences, besides maybe the more vendor-oriented RSA ones. Both the conferences started from this guy. His real name is Jeff Moss, but he goes by Dark Tangent. But if we were to characterize these conferences, Black Hat is always the one that happens during weekdays, and it's really more made for business folks. So it's similar to RSA and other conferences in that you'll get C-levels, IT managers, technicians, security pros. Some people are in suits, although it is relatively casual in Vegas during the summer. So it is a little bit more professional. It's more about the InfoSec side of things.
Mostly because it costs thousands of dollars.
Yes, and it's very, very expensive. And the truth is, the conference is broken up into both trainings and briefings. What we're going to be talking about most is the briefings, which is where, you know, experts give 1 hour or so presentations. But there is 4 days, I believe even possibly, I think 4 days is the longest. It starts sometimes on Saturday or Sunday. So it would have been last weekend for you guys, but this upcoming weekend for Mark and I, where you can have a 4-day training, really deep subjects like how to exploit buffer overflows, pen testing, and you basically get like a couple months of training consolidated in 4 days. And I think those cost anywhere from $2,600 to $4,000. Meanwhile, the briefings also are still not that inexpensive. I think they're normally around $2,000 this year. They're a little cheaper. I think you could have got them for $900 to $1,000 depending on when you registered. The briefings are 2 days, typically the Wednesday and Thursday of the week. that they do the more traditional talks. So Black Hat, really great researchers, because these are so large, we're talking tens of thousands of people. In Vegas, they've had to have like a stadium for the keynotes. Because they're so large, I really think this time of the year is where the premium research comes out, where the researchers that have found the big name flaws are really going to share most of the details. Now, the transition, though, is to DEF CON, which was, by the way, Black Hat, just inside baseball. Jeff Moss sold it to a conference company. So while he still plays a big part in it as kind of the board founder, it's now kind of a very much a typical professional conference, which also means it's about exhibitions, vendors, and making money ultimately. DEF CON, on the other hand, is a hacking conference for hackers. If you've ever seen TV shows where, you know, people go to this hacker conference and there are lots of interesting and unique people there, well, sometimes that's a little cliche. DEF CON is more what that show is actually showing you. And DEF CON's relatively cheap. It's made so anyone can go. They charge some because you do get a lot of good materials that they want to pay for, but it's almost like a nonprofit in that I don't think they're trying to make a ton of money. So I think it's around $200. Is that right,
like,
Mark?
The price has gone up over years. $260, and it's like cash at the door too. There's no prior registration. Yeah. It is truly a hacking conference.
Yeah, and when I started, it was in the $100 range. But this is the fun one. It starts technically Friday, but it goes through the weekend. And to give you an idea of the difference, you know, an old tradition, they've kind of changed it for PC culture and folks that have issues. But it used to be speakers had to take two shots before they started their first ever DEF CON talk. So that gives you an idea. But that fun aside, it's often the same researchers. It's the same type of talks, but it's in a lot more let your hair down, have fun environment. And that does mean there could be more cursing and silliness, but also it tends to be where, you know, sometimes you get the better version of the talk because they drop the proof of concepts or the exploits, and they do a lot of fun stuff. And that's just talking about their version of briefings. Beyond that, maybe Mark, you can talk about all the other cool activities that happen at DEF CON.
Yeah, one area that's really been taking off in recent years is this concept of villages at DEF CON, where they basically have anywhere from a small room to a pretty big room dedicated towards a specific subject in hacking. So there's obviously ones like IoT Village, where it's all about hacking connected devices. There's the Biohacking Village, where each year you can even go get a chip implant done in there. The Car Hacking Village has taken off like crazy in recent years, I think because like Tesla and Chrysler Group have pumped a ton of money into it in terms of like advertisement in there, but also providing cars for people to go and test their skills on. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was in the upwards of like dozens of different villages they had last year, ranging across a whole bunch of different topics. It's pretty cool. And that's one thing that I'm actually really sad about missing out on in person this year.
Yeah. To give you one thing, you mentioned cars and people bringing actual cars or maybe dashboards and the equipment. I remember early in this year, and I think there's still a talk we might talk about on the subject, but I have a feeling it's going to be different. Early in this year, I believe the US government, one of the agencies, was going to donate a satellite. And it sounded like satellite hacking was a theme. And while we might start talking about the interesting looking talks, I don't think we'll be seeing much hands-on, unfortunately. So I was kind of looking forward to whatever village might have had that. But the really, Jeff Moss wants DEF CON to be a community. You heard us talk about our badge CTF in the last podcast. As we mentioned back then, that really started with the DEF CON badges. But for instance, one of the things they do with their badge contest is badges interact. Their whole point is, you know, while it is a stereotype, us hacker security nerd types are sometimes known, you know, at least assumed to be these quiet introverted cave trolls. I'm speaking for myself.
Thanks.
I'm speaking for myself, so don't get offended. Mark is actually a super dynamic, sporty, sports
super
ball
dynamic
guy.
Cave troll.
Actually, that's not entirely true. He didn't go up to people to give out his badges at the first DEF CON that we did bad. Anyways, that aside, Moss is really trying to encourage people face-to-face to get together and to talk, and not just to be about the experts sharing their research, but to get, you know, everyone that goes there is in the community and is a professional, and getting them to talk and interact more and to share their knowledge is what it's about. So, love the entire week. I'd have to say I still do prefer DEF CON in general, even though you give up a weekend for it.
Yep. They are both like genuinely, like, not just fun, but you do learn a ton at both the conferences.
Oh, yeah.
Like, especially at DEF CON, if you want to learn hands-on skills, it's a great place, especially if you don't want to pay the thousands of dollars for briefing or training passes at Black Hat. But even then, Black Hat is fantastic as well. So unfortunately, both of them are just online only this year. Both are doing it a little bit differently. DEF CON staying true to its hacker roots, and it's basically entirely free now. They're going to, for each day's worth of briefings, what they would have done in person, that night or that morning at midnight, they're going to drop that day's worth of briefings as a torrent link, and then also put them up on their YouTube channel so you can go view them at your own leisure. And then instead of the normal briefing times, they're just Q&A sessions with the actual people who are giving the talks. Black Hat, on the other hand, you still, like Corey mentioned, still do have to buy a briefing pass for the online only version, and it is still comparatively rather expensive. They are also still having a vendor hall right now instead of the giant extravagant booths from all the different security vendors. You get a little digital picture of your booth where you can go chat with people. I have to say that my assumption is the majority of people that go to the Black Hat vendor hall are there for free stuff. Like, I'm sure there's still some decent conversations people have, but it'll be interesting to see how the vendor hall deals this year in an online-only mode.
Yeah, but before we even get into talks, I don't know if I'm positive or negative, but we're both bummed that it's not live in a way, but I'm curious how good it will be. Because, you know, for me, let me speak from my position. I love Black Hat and DEF CON, but I'm now in a role where it's actually hard to find time. Like, if you look online, sometimes researchers have like hour webinars where they're giving similar, just new research presentations like they do here. But trying to find, if I'm trying to stick to someone else's schedule, going to that webinar on time, or even trying to find an hour to do it, it's kind of hard for me in my role to do. So the one benefit to going live is you're like a captive. You know, I dedicate that week to it, and I kind of go to everything. So I'm wondering how many of the attendees are like me in that regard, especially at Black Hat, where you have kind of that mixed management role. And will it be as popular? I think I probably shared kind of nerdy news with you. Comic-Con, which is one of the most popular conferences in the world, it went virtual this year too, and kind of had very disappointing results compared to how huge Comic-Con is regularly. So I'm interested to see if how big it is when it's virtual, if people will time shift it. And I'm also really interested to see how DEF CONs works, because the sessions, rather than being a playback of the presentations, are the Q&A. But that gives the audience the prerequisite of doing their homework and having watched the presentation before they actually went to the time slot for the Q&A. So it'd be interesting to see for sure. I'm sure it would be fun no matter what. But I tell you, I can't wait to get back to the live conferences one day.
And we also kind of recognize that too, even with our Capture the Flag contest, and that normally we start it on the first day of Black Hat's vendor hall opening. But this year we're starting it tomorrow at the time of this recording. So last Saturday at the time you're listening to this, just because we realized that since it isn't in person, people aren't going to have time to dedicate towards a Capture the Flag. They'll probably still be working their normal job. So we wanted to give them two full weekends to knock out the challenges.
Yeah. What is that? 73,000 seconds left, plus or minus a couple hundred.
At the time of this recording, negative quite a few by the time you actually listen to it.
Oh, that's true.
So either way, with that intro, like, we wanted to take some time and just highlight a few talks that we were looking at, things we're looking forward to seeing. And by the time we record next podcast, we should be able to at least highlight a few Black Hat ones we saw, and then maybe some DEF CON ones after then. But starting with Black Hat, like, as I'm looking through the different talks that they have going on, there is a common theme that, Corey, you pointed out as we were talking about this earlier, and that election Integrity and election hacking is a major topic of this year's Black Hat. Like, in fact, the keynote is called Stress Testing Democracy Election Integrity During a Global Pandemic by Matt Blaze, who's from Georgetown University. So it seems like, and there are several other election security topics as well.
Election security, securing Americans' future was another one I saw.
There's one where there's many. Yeah, that's from the director of CISA, Christopher Krebs, who I don't know if there's actually any relation to Brian Krebs. I should have looked that up.
That was the first thing I thought when I saw his last name too. It is spelled with a K as well.
That one, I will probably end up watching it, maybe not like live, maybe after the fact, just because talks from government officials tend to at least be somewhat interesting. I know, like, you and I went to one from a senator last year. I think it was last year. And we were both this felt like a political speech and not an actual presentation on anything worthwhile. But this one could be interesting. Like, you have to imagine the director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency of the United States probably has a lot of interesting things to talk about when it comes to election security. Another one that was up there, Hacking the Voter, Lessons from a Decade of Russian Military Operations. So this is from a gentleman at an intelligence firm, Booz Allen Hamilton is the firm. The guy's name is Nate Breach. Where basically he intends to highlight 10 years of election interference from Russian intelligence agencies. Not that Russia has ever interfered in an election ever. Also, not that we have never interfered in an election ever. So there are multiple topics on election hacking. It makes sense. It's 2020. It's an election year. It's a very contentious election year, at least in the United States. So I'm sure I'll hop into
there's
one of those.
Also like, and it's not all just the hacking technology. For instance, there's one called Hacking Public Opinion, which I would propose is actually related to election hacking, because it's more talking about online disinformation, which is really how we see most of the election hacking. By the way, a little teaser, we're not sure exactly, we'll probably record this in August, and I won't give away the name, but we do have an expert on disinformation coming to be interviewed on our podcast soon. So we'll certainly be talking about this concept of disinformation a lot more.
Yep. So one of the talks that I am actually really looking forward to, though, kind of piggybacks on some research. I guess it's paired with some research that came out just last month. It was mid-June. When a series of vulnerabilities in connected devices came out called Ripple 20. It was firm research by JSOF Limited or JSOF LTD, where they discovered 19 vulnerabilities in a TCP IP library that a lot of devices use, like ranging from printers to desk phones, power supply backups, and a whole bunch of IoT and connected systems. It's actually a really old library that basically these devices use for networking. Old enough that they were having trouble identifying exactly how widespread these flaws were. So they already put out like a white paper on two of the vulnerabilities, I think, back in mid-June when they released their research. But this talk, they're going to talk about quite a few more of them. And just because I thought it was interesting, IoT hacking is a pretty big passion of mine. It is one that I will definitely be attending to see exactly what they release and how they basically did the research, because they're going to talk about that as well. How about you, Corey? What other ones are you looking at?
Well, I'll say that was on my list too, although that one's at DEF CON, so I was potentially going to go to that. Many of these presentations, by the way, audience, are often they're given at both conferences, although sometimes they change them up a little. This year, it seems to be they have the exact same titles. But yeah, that was a big one for me. And by the way, IoT is another theme, maybe not my big one, but some are IoT skimmers that, talking about attacking energy markets and having high wattage IoT botnets. That's interesting. But along the lines of what you said about Ripple 20 being a vulnerability that's already been disclosed, but getting more detail from the researchers, I also figured I should go to Crook. What's the presentation's title? Crook Serious Vulnerability Affected Encryption of Billions of Wi-Fi Devices. And you may have heard of Crook. It's kind of disclosed, I think, February of this year. Uses zeros for the two O's in KR00K.
Much hacking, wow.
Super marketing names, such wow. So anyways, we do, you know, this was from a recent research by ESET, and they did release a white paper on it, but we do have Wi-Fi devices, so I thought I'd go check that one out as well. But there's a lot. I mean, this year there's a lot I'm interested in. It's hard for me to pick a winner. I will say, besides having like the technology and even social engineering classes, sometimes Black Hat throws in like curveballs, and since the pandemic is on all our mind, one that I, if you know, this is one I have to do only if there's not a better security related one happening, but there's one called The Paramedic's Guide to Surviving Cybersecurity. And it's COVID related, and it's a paramedic speaker. So I don't know why, but the title kind of just intrigued me on that one. So I might go to that as well.
There's another one that I was looking at that's also in Black Hat and DEFCON both, where it's given by quite a few research scientists, professors, and students at Georgia Institute of Technology and Texas A&M. It's called Discovering Hidden Properties to Attack the Node.js Ecosystem. So if you're not familiar with it, Node.js, it's a JavaScript engine for server-side and desktop applications. So most of us think of JavaScript as a client-side browser scripting engine. It's something that runs in Google Chrome or Firefox when you go to a website to take care of dynamic properties on that site. But it's also now an engine for server-side scripting as well. Like, we use Node.js in our Capture the Flag website, for example, a lot of internal tools as well, because it's a really expandable and a really easy to use framework for building these web servers. And in their talk, they're going to be discussing something that they've called hidden property abusing, or HPA attacks, to mess with a program's state. So Node.js maintains a state of applications that the tool uses as you navigate around or as you use whatever the application is. And they're saying they can abuse some of these hidden properties and communication channels within Node to basically change the state. And they're also going to demo a tool for identifying vulnerabilities and potential exploits in Node.js applications, which I'm very interested in seeing and using against all the tools that I've built to make sure that they're not vulnerable. So that one, it's at both DEF CON and Black Hat. I'm not sure which one I will end up viewing it at, but it's definitely on my list for either.
Yeah, and you reminded me of one. I mean, we kind of talked about this at the beginning when we mentioned satellite hackers. This, I put it on my DEF CON list just for timing, but it's called Whispers Among the Stars, Perpetrating and Preventing Satellite Eavesdropping Attacks. And essentially, I believe it's going over the protocols, the communication protocols satellites use, and kind of showing how you might eavesdrop on those and giving advice for blocking that. So, you know, I was excited about the satellite hacking. By the way, that's James Pavour of Oxford University talking about that. So definitely one to go to. And by the way, for all the ones, again, remember, if we say it's at DEF CON 2, you guys can go see these for free whenever you want, or you can just download the torrent of it and time shift it. By the way, we talked about kind of this year's themes on maybe lots of IoT as usual, all the election hacking. I would say healthcare. Maybe we can talk about that later. There's a number of healthcare-related products and services that have vulnerabilities. But one trend that's kind of gone away, but there is one talk I still want to see, is around car hacking. You know, the past few DEF CONs and Black Hats, you even mentioned it yourself when you talked about the village. But car hacking has been big ever since, wow, we said their names so many times, and they just, one of them's my favorite Mac hacker, ex-NSA guy, too.
Yep, those guys.
Wow, I need more coffee today. Ever since the Jeep hack that I'm sure you guys have seen over and over on the media, you know, car hacking has kind of been the big thing.
Chris Velesic.
There we go. But who's the other? He's not the NSA dude. I cannot believe. I can't remember his name. Yes, Charlie Moore. My goodness. I remember when he cracked OSX Wi-Fi back in the day. So he's one of my favorites. Can't believe I forgot his name. Sorry if you're listening.
I'm sure they are.
You know. Yeah, sure. They have time for that. They want to listen to us, who obviously know so much more than them.
Yep.
/ S over and over and over again. But there's a talk called Security Research on the Mercedes-Benz from Hardware to Car Control. And that seems interesting for sure. I mean, I do want to know the latest on car hack, so I'll probably go to that one.
There was another one at a DEF CON in a similar vein where, so you know the Tesla Model S has a ludicrous mode and an insane mode or whatever, where it's basically battery supercharging the accelerator to make it go 0 to 60 in like a millisecond. One of the talks there is about bumping that up even more with firmware hacking. So I might end up going to that just because those talks tend to end up being kind of interesting, especially since in the description he talks about how he bricked someone's Tesla while testing it.
I saw that one too, and I agree with you. It's interesting from a nerdy perspective, but as I'm mixing, I knew it was less about vulnerability and more about like hacking from the standpoint of, you know, you're a car nerd that wants to make your car faster and faster and disable all the factory fail safes that just slow crap down. I wasn't sure if I would make that a priority, but I definitely saw that and got interested in the same way you did from the title.
I feel like I can watch it on a Saturday.
Usually on a DEF CON, you know, at Black Hat, I tend to go to all the talks that we might use for research or we might want to talk about. And DEF CON is where I do that. Like, I remember one talk had nothing to do with anything you or I would probably ever do, but it was someone making trying to brute force a real safe with an actual turning thing. So it was more about building the robots that in 3D printed parts and stuff. So
that sounds right up your alley.
It was interesting. That was about it. But I knew I wouldn't really apply that to any WatchGuard business anyways.
Exactly. So speaking of DEF CON though, and like healthcare as a topic, there's one recurring panel that they have just about every year, at least as far back as I can remember, called Do No Harm. Where it's basically a healthcare security conversation. There's a few recurring panel members, a physician and an anesthesiologist that both have hacking backgrounds, Christina Quadi Demeff and Dr. Jeff Replicant Tully. This year, they're joined by a few other people from medical companies and the FDA. And I feel like since we're in the middle of a pandemic, this would be a really good panel to attend just because, like, we've seen, you know, cyber criminals say that they're not going to hack hospitals anymore, but there's still plenty of others that are still falling victim. We've talked about, I feel like every single week, another nation state hacking some other nation state about COVID related research. So I feel like this year, this panel would be one that you really don't want to miss when it comes to cybersecurity and healthcare.
Yeah, excellent. I agree. That should be fascinating. This is kind of a hard shift. There's a lot of other health talks going at both conferences. I don't want to just enumerate them. So moving to other topics, there's one that I'm interested from a business and a pure we help with this perspective and a personal hobby. Obviously, we make a multi-factor product called AuthPoint, and it uses biometrics. And we've been talking a lot about biometrics and what they're good for, such as usability, but the fact that they're not a security panacea, you can crack them. There's one called Bypassing Biometric Systems with 3D Printing and Enhanced Grease Attacks. So, you know, I'm already interested in biometrics and how they can be bypassed. I think using one of your old phones, Mark, we came up with a way to get past Trusted Face. But as soon as they threw 3D printing in that, just as a personal hobby, that got me interested. So maybe we can update our demo with cracking iPhone Face ID, for all I know, if we get the 3D printing right.
Speaking of printing and printers, one of the talks I was looking forward to at DEF CON was called Evil Printer, How to Hack Windows Machines with Printing Protocol, from two researchers from Tencent Security. And in their description, they basically said they found this bug. First, they point out that the printing spooler on Windows, it runs at system privilege levels, it's unsandboxed, it has networking built in, and it loads and runs third-party binaries, so what could possibly go wrong? So they talk about this bug they found that can be used to exploit locally and remotely to execute code at system level. And so I remember it was earlier, I think it was in May, there was a vulnerability that came out called Print Demon, CVE-2020-1048, which was using PowerShell to let you register a library as a printer port, which could be used as a privilege escalation flaw on a Windows computer. But these researchers weren't involved in that. I couldn't find them anywhere in that. So it sounds like this might be some new flaw they're discussing or some new bug. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Also, just because their description had a bit of humor, so these types of talks tend to be pretty good.
Absolutely. And by the way, that's another plus of DEF CON. While sometimes they share titles, if you look at the titles at DEF CON, they're usually much more humory, much more internet meme-y, much more jokey. A lot of such wow.
Much wow. Much hacking. Now, how about any other ones before we wrap up, Corey? There's one more I wanted to bring up, too.
There's so many. And by the way, on the line, we talked about IoT. I kind of throw printers there. But there was another one called A Decade After Stuxnet's Printer Vulnerability, Printing is Still the Stairway to Heaven. For a DEF CON talk, that's kind of too much of a mouthful. So that's an example of not quite nailing the title. But again, printers seem to be a little side theme. So the talk you already mentioned, you know, the evil printer, and this one were ones I put down. I gotta admit that part of it is the old school pop pop Corey. You've probably heard me talk about, you know, my first introduction to IoT vulnerabilities were old school attacks on HP printers, you know, 15 years ago with WAR servers on the printer. Very simple things nowadays probably, but I do have this kind of nostalgic feeling when it comes to printer hacks.
Back in my day, we didn't have a camera to hack. We had to hack printers.
Yeah. That particular Stuxnet, and by the way, the Stuxnet references, Stuxnet did have a number of 0 days, and one of them was a printer one. But that's from Peleg Hagdar and Tomir Bar, who are both from Safe Breach. So it sounds a little interesting, and it did, between that one and Evil Printer, I was interested to see printing protocols come back. Before I let you finish your last one, the only other one, I'm not sure, this one might be only at Black Hat, but you and I have talked occasionally about, one, ways to shut down the internet and past predictions, and two, kind of places where researchers haven't really, well, maybe some researchers have, but the general InfoSec hasn't invested in fixing some of the issues, and that's in routing protocols. You know, we usually talk about BGP, but also there's RIP and OSPF and other things. And there was a talk that had a interesting main title, which is Routopacy, and it talks about modern routing protocol vulnerability analysis and exploitation. And that one, for sure, I thought someone from our team should go to, just because as a network device that supports these routing protocols, it seems pretty interesting.
Yeah, agreed. And the last one I was really looking at was mostly from a competitive standpoint. It's called Don't Ruck Us Again, The Exploit Returns. And it's from researchers at Aleph Research out of Tel Aviv, Israel, where it's a follow-up to a talk they gave at the Chaos Communication Congress, which is organized by Chaos Computer Club, where they showed three remote code execution vulnerabilities in Ruckus wireless access points. And prior to that talk, after the vulnerabilities were disclosed, Ruckus did patch them. But the researchers have apparently found six new vulnerabilities and also found that Ruckus didn't properly patch a few of the original flaws. So in this one, they're going to be talking about some new code execution vulnerabilities they found and a few access points. But most interesting was they're going to share a Ghidra script. So Ghidra is the NSA's reverse engineering decompiler and debugging tool. And they're going to share a script that they use to map out different sections in the web server applications on these Ruckus access points, which they were then able to use to fingerprint different universities and organizations that were vulnerable to these flaws over the internet. They did point out at the end of the description that Black Hat, at least when we have the in-person conference, uses Ruckus Wireless as a bit of a tongue-in-cheek jab. But I'm mostly looking forward to seeing how they're using Ghidra in this, just because from my limited experience with it, it seems like a cool tool, and any ways I can see to augment it are going to be interesting.
That's crazy, Mark. By the way, audience, we didn't sync on this other than looking over the schedule. And if you weren't, once you brought this up, if you weren't going to mention the Ghidra script thing, I was going to. That was what I keyed on. Our team right now is looking a lot into, you know, disassembly for malware analysis and also vulnerability hunting. And IDA Pro is like the most common one. And IDA has, because of it's been around forever, it has, the value isn't just in the debugging disassembly tool. It's in all these community scripts people have made to make it do more and make it easier. So I noticed Ghidra, I'm very new to. I've used OlliDebug and IDA, haven't used Ghidra yet, but being newer, it's nice to see people making scripts for it. That means that the researchers do like it, and since it's a free option, it might be viable without having to always shell out a ton for those IDA Pro
$1,000 a year. Yeah. I will say
probably more.
Ghidra's community has been coming along pretty quickly. Like, I even found a plugin for decompiling Game Boy Advanced ROMs and Game Boy Advance libraries, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah, which means it has support for other, you know, a lot of the cheapish, freeish debuggers might only do, you know, Intel i60, you know, or 86X or whatever. But ARM support in Ghidra, I think, because you were looking at it to do some of your IoT research. So that's nice for sure.
That plugin I found because like a YouTube series where there's this old bug that existed in Pokemon Red and Blue versions back on the original Game Boy. And he basically went and reverse engineered the ROMs to figure out exactly what caused that bug. And it was really fascinating watching him go through that process. And it was all through a open source tool for Ghidra, which was pretty cool.
That's awesome. And by the way, speaking of other trends that might have disappeared or died down a little, there's a few of them. When you said that, it made me think of, was it a Game Boy Advance or was it
Nintendo a 3D? DS,
A Nintendo DS, yeah. We went to a fascinating talk where he showed how he chained a number of vulnerabilities to essentially gain root or code execution on that. There was much less game-related security talks. There was one called Finding and Exploiting Bugs in Multiplayer Game Engines, which I think is actually more focusing on the platforms a lot of developers use for games like Unity or Unreal 4. But they, of course, also have a network protocol for multiplayer games. So I did take a peek at that one, but it looked less about, you know, hacking for maliciousness rather than just speeding up your character, allowing yourself to cheat. But I didn't see as many game-related security talks this year.
No, not this year, but it's also been a kind of slow year for gaming in general. Maybe that has something to do with it. Pandemic.
Yeah, they're all waiting for next generation consoles to drop, and 2021 will be the hack the Xbox Series X
or the PlayStation 5. You have to imagine with all the Sony's pretty decent when it comes to security, but with all the massive architecture changes that the PlayStation 5 is going to have, I bet there's going to be some cool research going into that.
I would think it was a little bit harder to hack though, because both of them, consoles are probably one of the hardest things in my opinion to hack because they've done so much to secure the heck out of them for piracy. But the Xbox essentially uses familiar computer processors for the most part. Whereas PlayStation not only uses crazy things once in a while like the cell processor, but they seem to almost change up and redesign their hardware. So I just feel like the obscurity of the way PlayStation does their hardware design, even if their actual security, their design security, I think it is as good as Xbox, but even if it wasn't, the pure obscurity of their platform probably helps them a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, crap, it took game developers like 2 years to figure out that cell processor on the PlayStation 3 and optimize for it. Like, luckily, both of them now are using basically off-the-shelf AMD processors and GPUs, but the architecture changes for how they connect are kind of interesting on PlayStation, at least this year. But anyways, that's a fun little tangent, maybe for next year. So long story short, like we talked a lot of these talks we talked about are in both Black Hat and DEF CON this year. And the DEF CON ones are entirely free. If you go to defcon.org this weekend, there will be a download link each day for that day's talks. They'll also be up on the DEF CON official YouTube channel. And I highly recommend going and checking them out because there is a lot of interesting stuff that you can get from them, even if you aren't super familiar with whatever the topic is. Like even before I had any familiar with reverse engineering, you can still tend to follow along with what's going on in a presentation and get something out of it.
You learn at least the gist of what reverse, you can appreciate the level of skill and knowledge reverse engineering takes. In case we didn't say it, by the way, I think we mentioned that Black Hat briefings are Thursday and Friday. If you're looking to download the DEF CON talks, DEF CON, the core days tend to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But do know, I think one of their keynotes drops on Thursday. So if you're looking to get the download Mark just mentioned, start looking Thursday or Friday.
Yep. And then also make sure you check out our Capture the Flag contest. By the time you're listening to this, it will have already started. Even if someone by now has already finished the whole thing and started winning prizes, you can still get something out of it. If you finish every single challenge by, 10 o'clock at night Pacific on August 9th, I believe, whatever the Sunday is, you will get a code to get a badge the next time we are able to meet in person at Black Hat or DEF CON. So check it out. That one's crimsonthorn.net. We've got a Discord channel off of there too, where you can hop in, hang out with other CTFers and learn some skills along the way too.
Yeah, and if you're going to attend Black Hat virtually this year, the one talk I didn't really bring up because I don't know if we need to go to it, but do know there's one called Breaking Brains, Solving Problems, Lessons Learned from 2 Years of Setting Puzzles and Riddles for InfoSec Professionals. Only reason I bring that up is the reason CTFs are so popular is really this type of puzzle solving mentality is the hacker mentality in a nutshell. So if you wonder why we do fun puzzle challenges, that talk probably describes a lot of why these kind of puzzles are so important to helping train and keep InfoSec engineers and professionals sharp. So we really, Mark does so much work with his team and the CTF. Definitely take advantage of it and check it out. Plus, you may win something cool if you're not just finishing it, but you're first.
Hooray! And good luck if you do it. Hey, everyone. Thanks again for listening. As always, if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you have any questions on today's topics, you can reach out to the both of us on Twitter. I'm at @XORRO_. Corey is at @SecAdept. And we're both at #the443podcast. Thanks again for listening.
And if you didn't enjoy it, feel free to troll us on all the social medias and the intertubes.
Oh boy, what could possibly go wrong with that solicitation?
Hey, Anonymous, how are you doing?
Thanks again for listening, and you'll hear from us next week.
If we're still alive after all this troll hacking.